Welcome to the Office Space Podcast, where we discuss relevant topics that are affecting occupiers of office space. I'm your host, Dougal Jeppy with Colliers International. And today our guest is Tom Zarowski, the founder and CEO of Eastlake Studios. Tom is a licensed architect and founded Eastlake Studios in 1987. If you ever get a chance, check out his website. I've seen it before, but I looked at it this morning, prepping for this call, and there's a great picture of you, Tom, wearing suspenders in front of an old computer. Assuming that's you, right? So they've been around for a while. Eastlake's practice is focused on workplace interiors with a balance of assignments between tenants and building owners. As managing principal, Tom provides a leadership role on projects as well as the vision for the firm's long-term planning. Tom's directed Eastlake's teams on a number of award-winning workplace designs, but he claims his proudest achievement is the culture he's created there. So, Tom, welcome to the program. Thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dougal. Looking forward to it.
The focus of the program today is, you guessed it, design. And what are you talking to your clients about right now? And what is the future of design? So before we kind of jump into it, if you wouldn't mind, give you a little commercial on the firm, but maybe tell us a little something about yourself and the firm.
Well, just real quick, Eastlake is about 30 people located at the corner of Wacker and Michigan. Focus over the past 33 years has been downtown workplace interiors, almost all here in Chicago. We really feel like we bring a unique perspective to any project because we work with both building owners and tenants. And so I think we help facilitate the conversation and make people get smart about the project that they're working on, whether it's owners or tenants.
So what design trends have you seen over the years, Tom, and what instigated those changes? Because we're at a period right now where it seems like some changes were accelerated significantly. We've never had anything like this that I've seen where a change gets instigated by a pandemic. But if you look back a little bit, maybe you can just give us kind of the brief history of some of these major changes in design and what led to those changes.
Sure. So, over the past, I'd say 5 to 10 years, one of the key changes has been just the de-emphasis on personal space and the bigger emphasis on shared space. Certainly, private offices are getting smaller, workstations are getting smaller. A lot of that has to do with less paper, smaller technology, all that good stuff. But, it's certainly, those issues are not going away. Flexibility is another key one. People wanting choices and just options for, where they work, how they work. Certainly, you've got to see that being, even more challenging in this environment for business owners because, nobody wants to come downtown right now to a certain degree, right? So what do you need to do to lure your staff to come back, I think, is a key question. And giving them those choices is the key to kind of retaining employees. We did a survey early on in the pandemic where I believe the response was over 80% of people said that their next job, a key decision to making the choice for their new job would be the flexibility to work from home. Certainly wellness has been an emerging issue, with things like, LEED certified spaces and things like that. But wellness is going to just be a bigger and bigger issue moving forward. Everybody's certainly dealing with the pandemic right now, but we think that's going to be a long-term issue moving forward. And then the thing that we keep on talking about right now is that we believe the future office is going to be all about collaboration and celebration because, it's one thing to do heads down work at home, but collaborating with team members. It's so much better in person. And, you know, it's just we're seeing it right now because we opened up right after 4th of July, and just getting together with the people that we're working with, just you get so much more done in a quicker amount of time. Celebration speaks to just getting everybody together and making them feel like they're part of a bigger, you know, something bigger than themselves. So, you know, if you want to maintain culture, you've got to bring people together. You've got to get your folks together and have them kind of share your values, share your spirit, and kind of just do the stuff that you're all about.
Tom, how is wellness, collaboration, and celebration translated into an actual plan? What are those wellness features and those other things that you just talked about?
Yeah, so we're certainly, we've been kept busy through the shutdown, building out speculative office suites. The design of those, you know, it's about reduced density, obviously, because, you know, we can't be within 6 feet of each other when we're sitting down. In addition to that, larger circulation paths. So, you know, the corridors are going to be a little bit wider. In addition to that, you know, we certainly see issues of touch being key. So we're adding a lot more small pantry areas where people don't have to all use the same sink in an office. Looking for touchless hardware, whether it's on doors or cabinetry. And certainly touchless plumbing fixtures and the like. So anything hands-free. And then, of course, you know, probably something that's less about architecture, a little bit more about engineering would be, you know, ventilation systems. There's certainly lots of information that has emerged as the pandemic has progressed that, you know, filters are pretty important. It's a hard thing for existing buildings to address, but we think that's going to be something moving forward as new buildings get built that are going to be a huge part about what those new buildings are about.
Okay. And so, you know, the spec suites are on behalf of the landlords. What are your occupier clients asking of you right now?
Yeah. So, you know, really we're working on, you know, one project in particular that I might mention to you, Dougal. It's a wealth management company that has decided to go with all free address, which means nobody has a permanent seat in the office. And they're giving everybody a small private office, even, you know, not just management, not just senior folks, but the entire office is going to be in small offices, which kind of makes creates a need for a lot more meeting spaces of different types, from casual to formal, from, you know, lots of technology to no technology, from public to private, those types of things. So I think that's a pretty interesting direction.
Okay. And you discussed flexibility. You know, from my perspective, a lot of tenants are talking about flexibility, both on, you know, where they're going to work, right? From home or from a coffee shop or from a co-working location or the existing space. What are some components from a flexibility standpoint that affect the actual space itself?
Yeah, from a design perspective, flexibility is all about repetitive elements. So one size office, one size workstation, you know, within that context, you know, you can shrink or grow as needed if you have different business units throughout your workplace. I think that's just, you know, that's always been the key. That, you know, the simpler the space, the easier the flexibility of it. You know, I think, you know, in addition to that, I think there's a certain amount of doubling up of functionality. That's another thing that can keep your space simple to a certain degree, in that, you know, if you have a monthly gathering of your entire team, there's a way to, you know, have a space. Maybe it's a large town hall in the middle of your space that can accommodate 50 people. But when it's not being used as that, you know, it's your lunchroom, it's your informal meeting space that everybody shares.
What do you say to the clients that say, you know, Tom, if we're going to get together once a month to collaborate and celebrate, why don't we do that in a hotel room or a restaurant or something like that, and then have everyone work from home? What's the value of having that space there?
Well, you know, I think it gets back to that whole thing about culture, because, you know, maybe there's a hotel that can capture the spirit of your organization, but certainly we think that some of our most successful projects have really captured the spirit of organizations, from, you know, creating, you know, a DJ booth at a project that we did for Pandora, to, you know, just these large auditorium stair seating for companies like the Tribune and Active Campaign, that really are spaces that capture the spirit of the organization, and they really kind of start speaking to you know, what the company is all about, and really kind of state the priorities of the firm.
Yeah, I've seen some of those spaces, and they're quite impactful. And I imagine, I haven't seen them, you know, fully activated, but I imagine when there were more people in the office, they were being activated for sure.
You know, I think it's certainly one of those things that I think business owners are going to be forced to really be thoughtful about who they are and what they're about moving forward, because I think that's what's going to help help them make their employees feel safe, feel like ownership cares about what's going on with them. You know, that's certainly one of the keys to success we see in the future.
Mm-hmm. So many different companies and so many different cultures out there. I think, you know, starting at the top, you know, it takes a strong leader to decide what they're going to do. And it seems like there's been more vocal elements about supporting work from home than coming back to the office. But I don't know about you, but I'm starting to see a little bit of a shift towards the value, people seeing the real value, or I should say not even value. It's almost the devaluing of people isolating themselves for too long. The world's getting kind of kooky.
Well, you know, and that's why we really think that there's been a trend over the past 10 years to make the office feel a little bit more like home.
Like home, yeah.
We think it's going to be, the people are going to want some contrast from that, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a vendor over in our office this morning, and he was just talking about how he can't wait to get out of his house. You know, he's got three kids under the age of 8, and you know, it's tough getting stuff done at home for those people. You know,
yeah,
I'm fortunate enough that I don't have any young ones like that, but right. You know, it's it can be a challenge, but you know, I think, you know, it's and that gets back to that whole issue of flexibility, right? So if people want to come and work downtown, you know, you've got to be open-minded and make sure that you've got a way to accommodate that and make it work for them.
Right. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, you know, there's been such a movement towards creating just amazing space so that you attract and retain that talent. And now, you know, on tenants starting new space, it'll be interesting to see how much of it will go the way of collaboration and celebration, and how that's kind of communicated to the employees, and if that's enough to drive them back, right?
I think
we're creatures of habit. The question is, have we gotten into the habit of working from home now for 6 months or so, or are people going to go back and realize, oh my gosh, I kind of miss this, right?
Yeah, we did that a couple months ago where we had an event to celebrate the promotions of a couple of people. So the leadership team got together here downtown out on our deck.
Which is fantastic, by the way. It's a great, great space you have.
Thanks. We love it. It's not free, but we love it. But you know, that's it. You know, you get out there. We got out there for a dinner. We had a chef come in and cook something out on our grill. But you know, it was a lot cheaper than going out to a restaurant. And frankly, people just felt a lot safer, right? So because we were in our space, and the connections that we got from that gathering was something that we just immediately said, we need to do this with the entire staff. So we've actually, since then, we've been having weekly team dinners out on the deck, just to get people together, just to have face-to-faces with the staff, so that, you know, they're seeing each other.
Is that voluntary, encouraged, or is that kind of mandatory?
You know, we haven't said that it's mandatory. But I think since it's in the evening, it's off hours, it's not during, you know, rush hour or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think people have been able to figure out how to get down here and feel safe. So we haven't had any pushback on that. That's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that.
That word mandatory is not used very often, and would certainly probably not in this context. But I think encouraged and, you know, kind of social shaming would probably be the way to motivate people in.
But you know, we've got a group of people that really enjoy working with each other, and we really have been hearing about a lot of people just kind of missing that social aspect of working together with folks. And you know, there's a lot of young folks who are, you know, they're kind of stuck in their studio apartments, and you know, that can be a drag for sure.
You know, it's interesting. My wife and I will sometimes joke about how we have all these like teenage boys coming in our house and stuff, and then we got to stop ourselves and be like, you know, we should be happy that, you know, we have a house in the suburbs, that we should be happy that kids want to spend some time in our house. Right. I mean, you know, we've made it a nice, safe place. So switching gears over to the building side, do you foresee amenity space changing as a result of all this?
Well, you know, there's certainly some significant changes that are, you know, already underway. I think probably one of the key things that you'll probably agree with me is that it really feels like the amenity spaces with operators in place are probably some of the most successful. You know, the one that keeps on coming to mind for me is the one at Aon. I haven't been there through the pandemic.
The cloud.
I mean, that was a place that of all the building lounges / conference centers / fitness centers, more than any, I think it always seemed active, and that was because there were people around to give people what they need, and I think that's a huge part of that.
Yeah, I think that's a good example of, here you have a building on the far east side of the Loop. You know, you've got some great things around it, but there you can go and enjoy kind of a lounge-like experience. Whereas some of the buildings, quite frankly, the neighborhood's the amenity and they don't need it. You know, IE Fulton Market and things like that. It'll be interesting to see where the amenities go. We've always been over-amenitized in Chicago. I mean, leading the charge really nationally. And I think it was always table stakes when tenants are looking at buildings. It was a check the box. You know, you got this fitness center, outdoor, all that kind of stuff. But I think getting back to the wellness component, you know, I think these fitness centers will incorporate more of that and probably grow more of that into their space.
Well, you know, it gets back to, you know, just, you know, emphasizing that you are being safe and that you are, that you care about their safety, you know, whereas, you know, before you might've brought your cleaning crew in, you know, after 6 o'clock, you know, when everybody's gone for the day, you know, you're bringing that cleaning crew through maybe a couple times during the middle of the day to make people see that you're bringing cleaners through the space and the space is being maintained, it's being cleaned, and that you care. You know, back to that.
Right. So this is a question I've asked all my guests, and it's something I'd like to follow up on at the appropriate time. But, you know, in this case, what's going to be on our minds 1 year from now, if you assume that there's a vaccine at some point, let's say in the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, you know, we certainly think that there's going to be less focus on pandemic. But I think that focus is going to be transferred to wellness. So we think that wellness is the impact of wellness is going to be as significant as the impact that 9/11 had on security for downtown office buildings. So, you know, while people might feel safe because there's a vaccine, they're still going to want to know that, you know, their office, their, you know, the buildings that they're coming into are doing smart things to keep them safe. So I think that's where it's going.
Right. Well, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate you taking the time, and be well, if you will. And I hope to talk to you soon, Tom.
Well, thanks for having me, Doug. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You bet. Take care.
Bye-bye.